Friends, believers are exposed to a great deal of confusion from different ideas about who are the people of God. At the heart of the confusion are false assumptions and wrong interpretations of Old and New Testament passages. Some mistakenly view that Abram the Hebrew's divine calling as if it focused only on his physical offspring. This naturally leads to the mistaken idea that God's people in the Old Testament, and for some by extension in the New Testament, applied only to ethnic Jews. The fact is, in Genesis 12, Abraham was called for the blessing of all families of the earth. Abram was told, "In you all families of the earth will be blessed." For this reason, his name, Abram, meaning father of a single nation, was changed to Abraham, which means father of a multitude of nations. Later, he was told that the promises, including the nation and the land, were to take place many generations beyond his own lifetime. The Lord said to him, "Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners or strangers in a land that is not theirs, and they will be servants or slaves there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years." Friends, furthermore, Abraham was later told that the focus of his calling was for the coming of a single offspring or seed. In Genesis 22, he was told, "In your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." That single seed had already been promised long before to defeat Satan. This was immediately after humanity fell in sin and lost its intimate relationship to the gracious Creator. He was to be the seed of the woman. Isaiah's prophecy specifically spoke of this seed as Emmanuel, who was to be miraculously born to a virgin. The New Testament identified him as Jesus, born to the Virgin Mary. In the third chapter of Galatians, the Apostle Paul emphatically pointed out that Christ is that promised single offspring of Abraham who brings the promised blessing to all nations. Friends, it took a long line of 42 generations from Abraham to Christ's coming. That line required the establishing of a nation. That nation was composed of the collective descendants of the 12 sons of Abraham's grandson, Jacob. Like Abram, Jacob's spiritual calling required his name to also be changed. The Lord said to him, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel." So Jacob's descendants, through his 12 sons, were identified as Israel. From that time on, and until Solomon's death, Israel became the name of Jacob's entire family and the nation. The Lord preserved the life of Joseph, one of the 12. His jealous brothers wanted him killed. Instead, he was sold and ended up a servant in Pharaoh's court in Egypt. He endured much suffering as a prisoner, being falsely accused of wrongdoing. The Lord exonerated him, and he ended up becoming the highest-ranking governor of Egypt. Through him, the lives of the rest of Israel's descendants were delivered from a devastating famine and settled in Egypt. Friends, after Joseph's death, the Israelites lost the favor of the new Pharaoh. They endured many years of slavery in Egypt, just as God foretold Abraham. While slaves, the Lord preserved the life of another faithful servant, Moses, and prepared and equipped him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. At that time, the Lord began to refer to them as my people. In Exodus 3, when he called Moses, he said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. He sent Moses to say to Pharaoh, let my people go. When Pharaoh finally agreed to let them go, we read in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus, and a mixed multitude also went up with them. So the nation called out to worship the living God was not actually of a single ethnicity. Yet this was not the first time that the Lord called the Israelites mixed with people of another nation, my people. Already, Joseph's two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, were born to an Egyptian wife, Asneth, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On. Moses married Zipporah, the daughter of Reuel, the Midianite priest. Later, Moses also married a Cushite African woman, and the Lord strongly rebuked the racist objection of his sister Miriam and his brother Aaron. All were considered the people of God. The line of the Savior also includes the repentant Canaanite harlot Rahab of Jericho, and Ruth the Moabite, Solomon, the heir to King David's throne, was born to Bathsheba, the Hittite, and Solomon's son, heir to his throne, Rehoboam, was born to Naamah, the Ammonite. At Solomon's death, the kingdom was divided. The 10 tribes rejected David's royal line and established a separate kingdom called Israel. They gradually dispersed and were lost to the Abrahamic line. The remaining two tribes, Benjamin and Judah, continued the Davidic royal line, then called Judah. After the return from the 70-year exile, the name Israel was restored. 14 more generations passed until Christ's coming. Friends, even several hundred years before Christ came, the prophet Isaiah spoke of his coming as the Savior and Mediator for the former slave masters, the Egyptians, and for all human races. In the 19th chapter of his prophetic book, he also says, Israel will be third with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the earth, whom the Lord of hosts has blessed, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. Most Israelites, however, rejected Jesus. Many persecuted the apostles and other believers. We read in John's Gospel, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Apostle Paul, in the third chapter of his letter to the Galatian believers, assured them that in Christ they became God's people and also the true spiritual offspring of Abraham. The apostles emphatically taught that God's plan for blessing was exactly why Abraham and his line were called and preserved, to serve the coming of Christ and in Christ, all believers become God's people. Hallelujah.